A lot of things going on that you don't get to see on Sunday morning that we have on Sunday night. So let me encourage you to come back to that Sunday night service. We learn some things on Sunday night. We learned last Sunday night that Jonathan Edwards invented the light bulb. See, there's nobody in the world knows that but our church. And I've been reminded of that several times this week by good godly brothers and sisters. Now, I know good and well Jonathan Edwards didn't invent the light bulb. I know Benjamin Franklin did. That was one of them things. I had Thomas Edison wrote down and said Jonathan Edwards, because I wasn't paying him no attention to my notes anyway. I'd just about seen not had them almost. But anyway, we learned some things and get in some good singing and some good fellowship, and we're looking forward to tonight's service, so don't forget that. One of these days, you're going to have to get up in front of a crowd of people and talk, and people are going to make fun of you when you're old and senile like me. You wait. Your day's coming. You're not getting by with this. James chapter 4. James chapter number 4. Now, before I read this verse here in James chapter 4 and verse 8, or I'll read 7 and 8, did you know one of the main things, the worst things about human nature is that when something's wrong, we have a tendency to run from God instead of run to God? That's a weird thing. I don't know why we're made like that, but usually when something, you ever heard the old saying, they'll bite the hand that feeds them? That's the way we are. Right when we ought to be going to God more than ever before, we run from God. Notice what the Bible said in verse 7 of James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You want to get rid of the devil? That verse just told you how to get rid of the devil. Resist him. If you cooperate with the devil, he will eat you up. He will destroy your life if you cooperate with him. Your friends want to go out Friday night? Good old boys. They want to drink beer. They want to have a good time. They want to party. You know how to ruin your life? Go along with it. You know how to get rid of the devil? Resist it. Now, you ought to have better sense. You ought to have better sense. One of these days, you're going to want that devil away from you, and you ain't going to be able to get away from you if you don't resist him now. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'll never forget one time. I hadn't been preaching very long. I'll read you the rest of this in a minute. I'm just going to say a few things. Then I had a dream one night. And I dreamed that I was walking down the road where I live, down in Hoppy Tom. And I was walking down the road, and I was just going down the road like this, and I looked, and there was this great, big, long, black snake. And he wasn't but this big around, but that snake was about, I'd say it's as long as from here to Main Street, at least. But it was only that big around. Longest, skinniest snake I had ever seen in my life. I was walking up the road like this. That snake was crawling right beside me. His head was way up there, about as far as from here to you know, where you start up Courthouse Hill. 2 blocks. And I looked back there and his tail was way back there. And while I was walking up the road, he just crawled. I looked down there and seen him crawling. And I just didn't pay no attention, just kept walking. And all of a sudden, I stopped. And I stopped and I reached in my pocket and I pulled out one of these little silver knife things that you open boxes with in these factories. You know, that you push up a little button and a razor blade comes out of it, out the top, that you can go and cut. And I pulled out one of them things. And I stopped like this, and I went, click. And I bent over like this, and I went, and cut him. And I just, when I cut him like that, I looked way up there, and I saw him stop, and his head just turned around like that. And looked at me, and he started coming toward me. And boy, that thing, his body was on the ground. His head was about this high off the ground. And he was just coming right toward my chest. Boy, it was scary. And that thing started coming toward me about 25 or 30 miles an hour. He was going to hit me right in the chest. And right when he got right here, I jumped out of the way like this. And he went way down there. It took him a little while to get stopped. He was going so fast. That's right. That thing went way down there. And he went, turned around. Here he come again. Boy, he got about right here, and I jumped out of the way again. He went way down this way, turned around, and I, in my dream, I was just, you know, like that. And I was trying to get out of his way, and he kept, and I kept dodging him, and dodging him, and dodging him. And I woke up, and that was the end of it. About 2 days later, it began to dawn on me, and God began to talk to me. I began to think, what is the Lord trying to show me? What is the Lord trying to teach me? And I began to think, something said, yeah, Danny, that's your life. There was a time when I was 16, 17, and first part when I was 18 years old, me and the devil was going the same way. I didn't bother him, he didn't bother me. We both got along fine. But when I was 18 years old, I stopped the road I was going. I wasn't going the same way he's going anymore. I turned around like this, and I reached in and pulled out something real sharp, like a two-edged sword. And I reached out and went, yeah, like that. And boy, his head turned around, and he come at me, and the only I jumped out of the way, and he come back at me, and I jumped out of the way, and he come back at me, and I jumped out of the way, and I've been jumping out of the way all these years. And every time I jump out of the way, he goes way off down that way, and it takes him a little while to come back. When I resist the devil, he flees from me. Now, boy, if you stand in his way and let him bite you, you are in trouble. The Bible says the way to get rid of the devil is to resist him. You say, oh, well, I just have a problem with all these women at work. I tell you how to get rid of them. Resist them, playboy. You say, well, I just have a problem with taking money that don't belong to me. The way to do it, resist it. Say no. Every time you say no, the Lord will give you more strength. Every time you say yes, you will lose strength. Now notice what the next verse says. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. In that order. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. You want God? People say, oh, I just wish I was close to God. You don't wish it too bad, or you would be. I don't wish it too bad, or I would be, right? Bible says, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. So when the truth is, the reason we're not close to God, we've chosen not to draw nigh to God, because God said, when if we draw nigh to Him, He'd draw nigh to us. Look what else He said. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now I want to speak just a few minutes and preach to you on the subject, drawing near to God. Move closer to God, God will move closer to you. That's a promise in the Word of God. Now the Bible said, you've heard the old saying, if you'll take one step, He'll take two. And I believe that. I believe that if you'll move toward God, God will move toward you. You want to be closer to God here this morning? Make an effort to move toward God. Get right with the Lord. Move up here to the altar. Get your life on the altar. Say, I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to make a difference in my life. And I promise you this morning, as you begin to move closer to God, God will meet you more than halfway and move closer to you. I believe a lot of people, listen to me, I believe a lot of people are saved way before they ever get to the altar. I believe all the Lord is waiting on people to do is take that step. I believe there's been a lot of people. I've seen people come to the altar in this church, and we'd be praying for them, and the Lord would be moving, and the service would be going real good. And about that time, boy, they'd break down standing back there somewhere, and they'd step out of that seat, start down that aisle. You'd see the light come on in their soul before they ever got here.
I believe a lot of people are saved before they ever get to the altar. You know why? Because you're not saved by praying. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And the split second a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ and trusts Him to wash their sins away, they're saved right then and there on the spot. And we need to draw near to God and He will receive you. John 6:37, God made you a promise. John 6:37, God promised you, and God, all the way through the book of John, the Lord said things like, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me tell you something, friend. We may have the biggest sinner in McDowell County here this morning. I hope we do, because you're the candidate we're looking for. You're just in the right place at the right time. I'm telling you, if you will come to God this morning, He will receive you. Many, many times I've been knocked on somebody's door, sat down and talked to somebody. I had a man tell me about 3 miles over here one time. He said, I can't get saved. And I said, why can't you get saved? He said, I'm a murderer. I said, what do you mean? He said, I think it was in the Korean War. He said, when we got down to our ground battle, he said, we had to kill or be killed. And he said, I remember killing this man. And he said, I took a knife, like a sword, like a machete. And he said, I crammed it in his face and shoved it down his throat. And he said, when I lay down at night, I can still see the look on that man's face as I killed him. And he said, I don't believe that God will ever, ever forgive me of what I've done. That's people over there praying for me. Don't let that bother you. Just listen to me. They're praying for you and me right now. Let me tell you, brother, I told that man, I said, if God can forgive David the adulterer and Paul the murderer and the men of the Bible, like me, God can forgive you right now today of what you've done wrong. A little bit later on, that man died. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. But I'll tell you one thing, if he didn't get saved, it wasn't God's fault. God was standing there ready. All that man had to do was just look toward him. And God would have met him down there and done what's wrong, what was needed to be done and fixed what was wrong in his life. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us, if you'll draw near to God, He'll receive you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what you've done this morning. I'm not interested in how many sins you've committed. I'm telling you, there's a God here today that'll forgive you just like that. On the spot. On the spot. If you will make a move toward Him. As a matter of fact, God wants to forgive you a lot more than you want to be forgiven. God loves you more than you love yourself. God cares about you more than you care about yourself. Draw nigh to God, He will receive you. Then secondly, this morning, draw near to God confessing your sin, Christian, and He will forgive you. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. The Lord said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Let me tell you how a trick the devil plays on Christians. The trick the devil plays on sinners is telling them God can't never save them and they can't never live it. The trick the devil plays on Christians is now you've messed up, so God won't never fool with you no more, and God is tired of you, and it can't never be like it once was because you blotted your Christian life in sin. I'm telling you this morning, if you're a Christian here this morning, and you've messed up, and you've done wrong, if you'll draw nigh to God confessing your sin, God will draw nigh to you and forgiving your sin. I promise you this morning, it is human nature to want to avoid God. When a person messes up and backslides, they have a tendency to run from God. They don't want to come to God. They want to run away from God. Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what they done? They made them these little things like this. See? Tuck these leaves together, sewed them together, and made them some kind of little wrap around something. And they went down here and hid in the bushes. Adam and Eve knew that one day they'd have to face God. They knew they would. They knew that the day would come when God would catch them. They stayed it. They put it off just as long as they could put it off. They'd have been better off just as soon as they eat that fruit to said, "Oh no, we've messed up. Let's go find God. Let's go to God." But have you ever noticed when somebody messes up, they don't want to come to church? Have you ever noticed? And you go say, "Hey man, why don't you come to church?" And they say, "I've been doing things I shouldn't do." Well, that's the more reason you need to be in church. Lord have mercy, you need it more than anybody. If you've been doing something wrong, this is the place to be. This is not a club for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. This is a place where sinners can come and get help. I've heard people say, "Lord, preacher, if I ever walked in there, the roof would fall in." Now, that's not a funny joke around here. But I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, "Boy, I'll tell you, it'd be the end of the world if I ever walked in church." You're just the person we're looking for. You're just the person we need here today. You're just the one that God wants to save today. You know, when Jesus was here, He stayed with sinful men. He eat with sinners. He let them wipe His feet. That woman who wiped His feet with her tears and the hairs of her head. And they come up to Him and they said, "What are you having to do with this woman? She's a low down sinner." And Jesus said, told him, He said, "I'm here for these kind of people. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Anybody here in bad shape? You sin, your heart feels awful, you feel like a low down dog? Well, I'm telling you, you're at the right place. Draw nigh to God, He'll forgive you. Draw nigh to God, He'll forgive you. You say, "You don't know what I've done." I don't care what you've done. God is here this morning and He wants to forgive you. He wants to make it right. He don't want you to continue on in your sin and harden your heart and ruin your life. God wants it stopped this morning. God wants it to come to an end this morning. He wants you to change your life this morning. God wants to send you out these doors a different person this morning. God wants you to be different today, friend. God wants to change you today. He wants that more than you want Him. He wants it more than anybody wants it. Draw near to God. He'll forgive you. Let me say thirdly, draw near to God with your trouble and He'll help you. Psalm 50 and verse 15 and Psalm 55 and verse 22. When you have trouble in the home, you got marriage trouble this morning, you know what you ought to do with it? Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. I went and visited people and I said, "Why ain't you been coming to church?" And they say, "Oh, we've been having a lot of trouble." What kind of answer is that? "Why ain't you been coming to church?" "Well, preacher, you just don't understand. We're having marriage trouble. We're going to wait till we get a few things worked out before we come to church." You know what that's like? That's like a man sitting over there laying on that bench this morning with a terrible disease and us going over to him and say, "Hey, we better get you to the hospital so they can help you." He said, "Well, I can't go to the hospital right now. I feel too bad." And you say, "Well, feel bad or not, let us pick you up and take you over there." He says, "I'm just not ready to go to the hospital. I want to get a few things worked out first." "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "I believe I'll get better if I just lay." Listen. He said, "I'm going to wait till I get better and then go to the doctor." There wouldn't be no use in going to the doctor then, right? The time to go to the doctor is when you're sick. If a man ain't sick, he don't need to go to the doctor. When a man's sick, he needs to get some help right then, whether he feels like it or not. And I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people, and you have too, where they say, "Well, I'm just not ready to go to church right now, preacher. I got a lot of problems, and I got a lot of things that's not right in my life, and I'm doing wrong, and I just don't feel right going." Somehow or another, people got the idea that you have to be perfect before you walk in a church. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of in my life. If you had to be perfect before you come to church, this building would be empty this morning. I wouldn't be here, and none of the choir wouldn't be here. Brother John wouldn't be here. We are not here because we're perfect. We are here because we realize we're not perfect, and we realize we need help from God, and we realize that God's the only one that can help us. We are sinners needing a hospital to go to that God can take care of our soul. But a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people don't realize that. Job lost his stocks. He lost his bond. He lost his sheep. He lost his cattle. He lost his children. He lost everything he had but his wife, and that was part of his curse, having to keep her and put up with her. Because she told him to die. I mean, she told him he had bad breath. She told him he had everything in the world. I mean, boy, she was a pain, man. She drove him crazy. And Job did God. When Job had 10 of his children lined up across that funeral home in caskets, 10 of them, just like that. And boy, he had lost all his sheep and all his cow, and everything went bad. And the devil said, he's going to curse God. He's going to curse God. Job, go get you a bottle of liquor and get drunk. Job, go tie one on, son. Go pitch a big one. Job, go. God done you wrong. Why don't you just go party? Why don't you go stick your dirty movie in your VCR, Job, and just live like a devil? And Job looked up to heaven. He saw his 10 children and a corpse laying up through the air. And Job looked up and he said, we receive good at the hand of God. We receive evil at the hand of God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to draw nigh to God. And the Bible said, in all this Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. Job didn't say, well, God, this is not fair. All this bad stuff happened to me. Phooey, I'm just going to go live for the devil. He drew nigh to God. And the Bible said God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Or words to that effect. Number 4, draw near to God in your weakness and He will strengthen you. Anybody here got a weakness? Me and a few others. Well, you know what the Bible said in Isaiah 40? The Bible said God giveth power to the faint. I'm telling you this morning, sin is powerful, but God is more powerful. See, the devil is very powerful, but God is all powerful. The devil has great power, but God has all power. Draw near to God in your weakness, and He will strengthen you. Listen to me. I preached last Sunday night on overcoming your handicaps. And I talked about how that even though we're weak in certain areas, God gives us strength to overcome them and serve Him anyway. What is your weakness this morning? You say, Brother Danny, I've got a real weakness. There's this one certain sin that I have trouble with and I just can't overcome. You know what the Bible teaches us? Draw nigh to God. Do not run from God. Do not say, oh, foot, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit church. Push yourself toward God. Push yourself toward God. You say, well, I'm ashamed for Him to know it. He knows it whether you push Him to yourself to Him or not. You're not hiding nothing from Him. Just put it yourself up to God and say, dear Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned. And God, I'm not worthy to be called yours. God, help me! And the Bible said He'll help you. Last thing I'll say this morning, draw near to God seeking guidance and He will lead you. Draw near to God for salvation, He'll receive you. Draw near to God confessing your sin as a Christian, He'll forgive you. Draw near to God with your trouble, He'll help you. Draw near to God with your weakness, He'll strengthen you. Draw near to God seeking guidance, Bible tells us He'll lead you. You got problems, you got decisions you got to make. You got big time choices that's going to have to be made in your life. Get your answer from God. You know where old Saul messed up back there in the Old Testament? He went to that witch. He went to that wizard. Many times we're getting our counsel from the wrong place. We want the world to advise us what we should do. But brother, when we ought to be getting our counsel from God, we ought to be getting our counsel from God. I wouldn't want to go to a heathen university that don't even know where the world come from and don't even know where we're going when we die and ask them questions about how I should make choices in my life, would you? They don't know themselves. How can they help you? Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. If you've got a choice you need to make here this morning, whether it be college, career, marriage, job, house, whatever. You know what you need to do? You need to push yourself toward God and say, God, I want you to make this decision for me. I want you to lead me. I want you to show me. God, I'm not capable of making a choice like this on my own. God, give me divine wisdom. God, and I'll guarantee you, if you'll draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You take one step, He'll take two. You take another, He'll take two more. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. You know my favorite verse of Scripture, most of you people go here to our church know what it is. My favorite verse of Scripture is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Y'all know I've got that over my fireplace, over the mantle at home. When I sign people's Bible, I go off somewhere, you know, they always have preachers sign their Bible. I always write, Brother Danny Castle, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know why? Because I've claimed for a life's verse. God, I'm stupid, and I couldn't find my way out of a wet paper bag. But I am acknowledging you. I'm trusting you. And every time I've ever done that, it always turned out right. It always turned out right. He said, I'll lead you. He shall direct my paths. I have people all the time ask me where I went to seminary. Oh, everywhere I go. And I say, nowhere. They said, where'd you go to Bible school? I said, nowhere. They said, well, how'd you do so good? I say, because I didn't go to school. No, I don't say that. I don't say that. That's probably part of it. I said, because God had mercy on us. And I ain't got no sense. And I don't know the least little minute thing that a person ought to do in starting a church or pastoring a church or anything. But I know one thing. If I'll trust Him and try to do what He wants me to do, He promised He'd direct my path. He promised it. God, that cannot lie, said, Danny, if you'll trust me and acknowledge me in everything you do, I'll direct your path. Boy, there's been a lot of times I said, God, I don't a bit more know what I'm doing, the man in the moon, but here I go. And then I look back and see how that He directed my path. And how He, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Over many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. There's been people trying to lay traps for me. Spies sent to Marion from near, over 100 miles from here to try to dig up something on me and take it back to their community and tell it so it ruined the revival. I've had my brake lines took loose on my car. I've had the guy come over and said he was going to burn my house down. I've had things happen, stuff like that, and I look back and say, look at that. Watch the Lord just keep working out. I look back about more than I do forward because I keep looking back amazed at how the Lord just zoom, 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 zoom. I've come home at night so sleepy. Boy, I'm giving God the glory because, boy, I tell you what, the hardest thing I have to do is stay awake driving at night because I have to go preach all the time. You know, I'll be going driving back from Cherryville, and that's about, I don't know how far it is, hour and a half maybe. I've come back many times at night. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And here it comes. I've seen visions on the highway. I've seen tractor and trailers that wasn't there. I was hallucinating, man. No drugs or nothing. One time I saw this real skinny hitchhiker. I said, that's the skinniest guy I've ever seen in my life. And it was a sign. And his stop sign was his head, you know, and that little... And I thought, I just saw him standing there. One time I saw these lights flashing. I thought, good night, where's that truck going? And it was the little reflectors on the side of the road. Honest. You would not believe the barbecued pork skins. I've eaten them, my mouth got sore trying to stay awake. I don't know what it is about them things. Tell me, I guess they stink so bad they keep you awake or something. But I'll eat barbecued pork skins and eat ice to stay awake. Now I look back
And I think, God did this. God took care of me. I've come up many a time on a wreck that just happened. Just happened. I mean within seconds. You can just see how that the Lord just takes care of you. Haven't you seen that in your life? How that the Lord just takes care of you. Now, you know, one of these days, I mean, today it's going to be my time. I mean, it may be tonight, it may be tomorrow. But I can sure look back and say, all them times that I've tried to do what was right on this decision about this building, our youth camp, all the things that we've ventured out and done, it always comes down to a part where we just say, God, we're going to draw nigh to You, and You help us. I believe there's somebody here this morning that you've got a big problem in your life that you need to draw nigh to God with. You've tried to figure it out, and you can't figure it out. You've tried to work it out, and you can't work it out. You do not have the human ability to do what you need. But I'm telling you, as you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you, and He'll begin to work that thing out in your life. May not be what you want, may not be when you want, may not be the time you want, but if you'll draw nigh to God in your trouble, God will help you this morning. Maybe there's somebody here having severe, difficult marriage trouble. Maybe you teenagers here this morning got love problems. You got problems, I can tell you that. But it ain't love. Brains. You understand that one of these days. Maybe you got boyfriend, girlfriend problems. You know what you need to do to them, kids? You don't say, well, if I do this, he'll like me. You need God. You need to draw nigh to God. God, what do you want me to do? God, you help me with this. Maybe you got a problem. Maybe you've been laid off from your job at work, sir. Draw nigh to God. Don't get mad and bitter at God and go the other way. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Let's stand by Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would there be someone here this morning? Say, preacher, I've got a problem this morning, Brother Danny. And I know good and well what I need to do. I need to put it on the altar. I need to put it on the altar. Draw nigh to God.
That's got something that they draw nigh to you with. They can't handle it by themselves. It's bigger than they are. It's something that they've tried to work out maybe and they just can't handle on their own. Help them, Lord, to put it on the altar this morning. And give them victory and peace, or at least the assurance that You're going to work it out one way or the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, many's come already. Just keep coming if you need to come. Come on right now, let's pray. Amen. Need some volume down here, Roy.
Had Thy blood was shed for me.
And come on, come on. You need to come, come
thou
on.
Thou bids me come.
Yes.
To
come. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus.
Of God I come.
Just bring it to the Lord this morning. Just bring it to Jesus. Come on, right now, bring it to Jesus. While we sing, bring it to the Lord. Right now, bring it to the Lord. Right now.
Just as I am and waiting not.
Amen.
To
Jesus this morning. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you.
Dark
you need to come? Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now if you need to come. Let's pray.
Blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb.
Yes.
Of God I come.
Yes.
Something
you need to draw nigh to God with this morning. We're going to sing one more verse while these are still praying this morning. Maybe you're standing back there this morning, your heart's just pounding. You think, boy, I'm not right with the Lord.
I'm not right with the Lord. If I died today, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven or not. Maybe that's the situation you're in. Why don't you come to the Lord this morning? Why don't you come to Him? One of these days you're not going to have this chance. Why don't you come this morning? It'd be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you would be to come to Jesus and be saved. Will you do it? Will you do it right now? Let's sing, Brother John. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat. Come. Let's pray. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come on right now. Come on. Come on.
Done cleanse really.
Yes, amen.
Because thou promised, I believe.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Of God.
Thank God.
I amen. Come.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. Let's sing. Let's sing another one. Since these have come, God's moving right now. You need to come. Come on, friend. Come on, teenager. Young person. Mama. Daddy. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you.
One plea.
Amen.
But that thy blood,
yes,
was shed for me, and that,
yes,
thou bidst me come,
amen,
to thee, O Lamb.
Praise the Lord.
Of God.
Amen.
I come.
Well, amen. Thank God. Thank God. Yes.
Come.
Well, the Lord's doing some things up here this morning. There's some prayers being answered. God's speaking to some hearts. Don't let it pass you by. I guess you could tell this morning the devil's doing everything he could to distract and to hinder the service. But the Lord is more powerful than the devil. And He's ready to receive you this morning, just like that, if you'll just come to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. One more verse. We'll sing one more verse. God's dealing with your heart. Don't walk out the